हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनोभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
A self-realized man has no purpose to fulfill in the discharge of his prescribed duties, nor has he any reasons not to perform such work, nor has he any need to depend on any other living being. So there's no purpose because his work is not, there's nothing for him to gain. Materially, he's not trying to get something. Right? So there's technically no purpose to his work because the material platform, you only work because you're going to get some particular benefit on that platform. And by performing the duties, then without attachment, that will give you liberation. He's already liberated. He doesn't need to liberate himself. Right? So on the material platform, there's nothing to do. So the only reason for doing it is out of his expression of devotion to the Lord. Right, because an activity has to be performed to express that affection. Right, otherwise you have the affection, it's experienced by you, but it's only experienced by the other person when you express it, and that's through activity. Right? So, for him, there's only the devotional purpose. Right? Like that. And at the same time, there's no reason not to perform it. He doesn't have anything to gain from it materially, but it does. But if that's his duty, then there's no reason not to do it. Right? Does that make sense? Because otherwise, this idea, oh, I'm detached, as we discussed yesterday. Oh, I'm not feeling that same feelings of attachment to the family. Therefore, I have no obligation to work. No, but there's no reason not to. If you're not attached, it's just like you're cooking for Krishna. You're not attached to eating that food. So that's not a reason now not to work. Right? No, you're working for... means just because there's no material purpose doesn't mean the work's not done. It's not done for Krishna. That's the thing. Nor is there any need to depend on any other living being, because the other living beings... we're dependent upon them to get done what we want in the way of karma and gyan. Right? But if we're expressing devotion, then it's just a cooperation. Right? There's no other purpose. Because we'll say, no, but we're cooperating on the material platform, but you're dependent upon them. Say what you like, but we're dependent. But on the material platform, we're not dependent. Because we're not dealing with the illusion that what we are working with is not Krishna, and it's not his energy. So we are always then assisting the service of the Lord. Right? That's what's going on. Does that make sense? So we're not dependent on the material platform, but we are subservient to the Lord and his internal potency. Right? That's the natural position. The only duty for a self-realized person is devotional service. A self-realized man is no longer obliged to perform any prescribed duty, save and except activities in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not inactivity either, as will be explained in the following verses. A Krishna conscious man does not take shelter of any person, man or demigod. Whatever he does in Krishna consciousness is sufficient in the discharge of his obligation. Because his obligation is to Krishna, so whatever he does for Krishna, then that takes care of everything. Right? And he doesn't have to do anything on the material platform. So if the activity on the material platform, of the material activities, is beneficial in his Krishna consciousness, then he'll do it. If it's not, he's not obliged to perform it. Right? So therefore, all the material things of, you know, obligations to family, to the community, to the society, all those, if they're beneficial in Krishna consciousness, then they're the one performs. If not, there's no need. But the definition of whether it is beneficial or not is not decided by us. It's decided by Guru Sadhu and Shastra. Otherwise, we'll be whimsical. Right? Because we'll say, oh, if I have no material attachment to it, therefore there's no need to perform it. Then you're saying the only reason I would do it is because I'm getting a benefit. So the reason that we're being detached is not for Krishna. We're being detached because our only reason for work is our own attachment. Does that make sense? So this point is very subtle, because we see as Krishna has no obligation, but he does it to please the devotees, to set the proper example, you know, to remove the elements within the material environment that get in the way of the devotional service of the devotees, right? But he's not obliged to work because he has nothing to gain, right? But he does it out of relationship. So the same thing, Mother Yashoda doesn't have any duties to perform. So whatever she does, she's only doing to please Krishna. So in her relationship, all those activities that would please Krishna, that's what she does. So she spends her days fully being absorbed. 319. Therefore, without being attached to the fruits of activities, one should act as a matter of duty. Or, for by working without attachment, one attains the supreme. Right? Because it's a matter of duty. And by doing that, by acting in Naishkarma, you will attain the supreme. One, first you'll attain to the platform of Brahman. You'll be liberated from material contamination. But because you're doing it on Krishna's order, on Guru's order, it's pleasing to Krishna. Therefore, you'll attain Krishna as a person. Right? Yes?
Duty is like the starting of a relationship.
Duty is the start of relationship. Yeah, means you would, yes, you would say. Because duty is simply what it is you're supposed to do to cultivate the relationship. You know, just like, let's say, I give you some money. So it's your duty to put the money in a safe place. Because if you don't, you won't have a relationship with the money. Right? Because you've left it in an unsafe place. Now someone else who understands the value of money, you know, and decides that they want to have a relationship with that particular pile of money, they'll pick it up and walk off with it. Now, if they're smart, they'll put it in a safe place. If not, someone else will steal it from them. Does that make sense? So, duty simply means that which nourishes and cultivates the relationship. Right? But because the living entity is lazy due to the mode of ignorance, right, and thinks I'm automatically the controller, therefore I shouldn't have to do anything, right? But to be the controller means you're doing something, right? So inherently, and to enjoy, you have to be doing something, right? You want to smell, you have to breathe in through your nose. You want to hear, then you have to listen. If you have, there's an endeavor. But we have this idea, no, it should just happen. So that's ignorance. Right? Passion that, you know, whatever does happen should please my senses. And ignorance is that it'll just happen on its own. But there must be activity. So because of this ignorance, therefore there's duties. So it's defined that this is what you should do. Right? Like nowadays, you know, there are committees, there are organizations to see that parents nicely take care of their children. Right? Technically, there shouldn't have to be such arrangements, because the natural relationship between the parent and child is that of affection, as nourishment. Right? And if you have some standards to function by, you'll simply ensure that those standards are facilitated for the child. Right? But because people don't understand this, therefore there are arrangements that for those who don't understand, that they'll be encouraged to understand. Right? Does that make sense? So that's where duty comes in. That's documented because Mother Jashoda doesn't have to, you know, sit down and regularly study Shastra to figure out what should she be doing as a parent. Right? She doesn't, you know, go out and buy Parenting for Idiots or, you know, go online to see some, you know, whatever's the latest, you know, person who's pontificating about something of parenthood. And, you know, she doesn't have to do any of that. Right? Because it's the natural expression of her affection for Krishna. But for others in the spiritual realm, then parenthood is established by her because she has the greatest amount of parental affection. Mm-hmm. Therefore, all others in parental rasa follow in her footsteps. Right? But those things need to be documented here in the material world because we don't know. Right? You know, there's a basic understanding, but, you know, there's a difference. Like if there's puppies there and you go over to one of the puppies, does the mother dog come over? Not necessarily. The puppies are drinking milk and the mother dog sees something interesting to eat or that, what happens? She just gets up and walks off. You know what I'm saying? So, the thing is we are aware of parenting. But what kind of parents? You know, dog parents, you know, cat parents, cow parents, platypus parents, you know, what kind of, you know, the turtle, the kids over here and the parents out at sea. How do they do that? Through meditation. Right? You know what I'm saying? So what kind of parenting, right? You know, the parent is in New York, the child's in another city, you know, doing their education in their college. So some it's great, yeah, now the house is empty, you know, now we can do what we like, we don't have to worry about all these things, you know, like that. Another one is thinking about their kids, what would be beneficial for them. Does that make sense? So the point is therefore, Shastra has to establish, because basically you have 8,400,000 ways to be a parent. So, actually human, that's beneficial for spiritual upliftment, that the Shastra will define. Therefore, duty. Right? Plus, you also have the element, which means once you come to the spontaneous platform, then there's a basis for interaction because there's an opportunity because that is your duty. You know what I'm saying? It's your duty to cook for the child, so therefore, you know, you have an opportunity. Right? So whatever you can, you cook. For the other person, they actually don't want to do anything, but they're obliged to cook, therefore they do their duty. Right? But if the kid didn't ask, then there's a chance you might, you know, it might let it slip by. Right? But if you're taking every opportunity, then there'll always be some food there, and they'll always be trying to feed your kid. Does that make sense? Right? Talk to many parents when the child's small. There's such a difficulty that they don't want to eat, they don't want to do this, they don't want to do that, and so many things like that. If the kid's hungry, why wouldn't he eat? If you're hungry, will you eat? Right? So that means there's so much opportunity to eat, the kid's not actually that hungry. Right? And then he's come to the point, because there's always food, he can be choosy. Right? Because he's not that hungry. If he doesn't eat this, which he doesn't really like, you know, after another hour or two, there'll be something he likes. He will make it. But if he's actually hungry, then whatever comes in front of him, he'll eat. Does that make sense? So it's because the mother's taking every opportunity. So it's not a sense, she doesn't have a feeling of, I'm supposed to do this. It's opportunity. Do you understand? But that's when it's spontaneous. When it's not spontaneous, then it's duty, it's vaidhi. when it goes beyond that, when the affectionate aspect takes the prominence, then it's spontaneous. Then duty is just opportunities. Does that make sense? So the point is that the Krishna conscious person has no duty because he's not obliged to do it. But he's doing it because he wants to please Krishna. Right? That's why Krishna does things, not because he's supposed to. He doesn't go out dancing with the gopis because he's supposed to. Right?
No, it's just, here we go again.
Yeah, I know. Oh no, the moon's up again. Okay, yeah. Okay. Acting on behalf of the Supreme is the perfect action. The Supreme is the personality of Godhead for the devotees and liberation for the impersonalist. Right? So we've mentioned here when we say Supreme, we mean all this. A person, therefore, acting for Krishna or in Krishna consciousness under proper guidance and without attachment to the results of the work is certainly making progress towards the supreme goal of life. So a person, therefore, acting for Krishna or in Krishna consciousness. Right? So one may be Krishna conscious and one acting naturally. Or one may be acting for Krishna. Right? Or you can reverse the two. Either way you want. So, you know, you're in other words, you're doing it because you're supposed to do it, right? And working under the proper guidance of the spiritual master without attachment, it's working. The other is that it's something you want to do. You want to assist the spiritual master, and naturally you're doing it without attachment. So whether it's coming naturally or it's coming because of the application of the intelligence, it doesn't matter. One will progress towards the supreme goal of life. So it just in such a nice way Prabhupada's pointed out the spontaneous or the vaidhi. Right? Arjuna is told that he should fight in the battle of Kurukshetra for the interest of Krishna because Krishna wanted him to fight. To be a good man or a non-violent man is a personal attachment. But to act on behalf of the Supreme is to act without attachment for the result. Right? That is perfect action to the highest degree, recommended by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Right? So you're going to have the element here also is that duty is there, you're supposed to do it, but we may have our own personal attachments. Oh no, but I want to be a good person, right? That was the whole difficulty in the beginning of Gita. Arjuna wants to be the good person. Right? And to be the good person in this case, he's defined it as being nonviolent, which means not taking part in the war. So those kind of attachments are not important if they're not Krishna conscious. So the Krishna conscious person has no duty. Therefore, being good and nice is also not his duty. Right? But he's doing it because it's not his obligation. But he's doing it because it pleases Krishna. Because all living entities are parts and parcels of Krishna. So therefore, Krishna, seeing them all equally, wants you to deal with them all nicely. That's why you're doing it. You understand? Because otherwise, at this point, we may go, no, but there is, you know, good action. We have to be here. That's the problem. In the past, the devotees were never dealing nicely with anybody. But why? So what was the problem? They're not dealing with anybody nicely. What's the real problem?
They're not recognizing their part and parcel.
Yeah, they're not recognizing their part and parcel of Krishna. But that's not what's being presented. What's being presented is that unless we're good and nice, people won't be nice to us and they won't recognize us and I won't feel good walking down the street because people go, oh, there's a Hare Krishna. That's the bottom line. It's got nothing to do with Krishna. It's being connected to Krishna. So therefore, it's got some meaning. But it's not, the basis of it is not actually Krishna conscious. Because the culture is not coming from Krishna, the culture is coming from our own mental speculation. That in the modern society, at this particular time, this way of dealing is considered nice. But you go back some years, it was not. Let us say, if you go back to the 40s or 30s, right? And there's, you know, everybody has their nice little house and there's a little lawn in front and everything like that. You know, so then, you know, there's some kids out in the street and they're playing in the street, you know, like that. They hit the ball to go out in the street, the cars are going by. And so the neighbor tells the kids, it's not his kids, oh, hey, be careful like that, the cars are coming, you guys shouldn't play here. Play up here, if the, but they say, but there's no space. Okay, here, play in my front yard. Would that have been good or not good? You have no idea. Okay. In those days, it would have been considered good. Oh, he cares so much. He's a community member. He really cares. He's a community member. You know, we're on this street, you know, so he's looking out after all of our kids. It's a community. Right? And he's playing in the front yard. Oh, he's affording facility for kids. Isn't he so nice? Nowadays, if that happens, what would happen?
The kids will sue you.
Yeah, the kids will sue you. The parents will sue you. Some, you know, suddenly some, you know, some guy, you know, in his, you know, his black suit will drive up and then, you know, come up and, are you Mr., you know, like that. You understand? So it's not considered correct. Does that make sense? So it's just acceptable, right? There's, you walk out of the subway, you know, and there's a guy laying on the ground. You know, previously you go over and see about doing something. Now what do you do? You keep walking. Because if you do, I mean, you know, he may sue you. You know, or you tried to get involved and then they implicate you in everything. Does that make sense? So the guys that, you know, whatever, you know, if somebody beat him up, then they'll beat you up. In a sense, so... It's just a matter of what's socially acceptable today. It has absolutely nothing to do with what's right and wrong. Be very, very clear on that. It's just what the modes of nature present today as what is the way that these particular souls in bodies that have, you know, walk around on two legs instead of four, call proper social interaction. Never for a minute be fooled that this has any real basis. Right? So the real point is that it pleases the Lord. It's given by authority. You're performing it without desire for your own results. You're simply doing it at least because Krishna wants it this way, so I'm doing it. I may like it or not. And better than that is you're doing it because, you know, you want to make Krishna happy and this is how he likes it to work. But in any case, you're doing it like that because that's the authority. Not because, oh, that's the nice thing to do. So that's why he's pointing it out here. You know, to be a good man or a nonviolent man is a personal attachment. It's simple, and we'll say, no, but it's so good. You know, the materials, they're so nice and all that. I mean, it depends which ones you're talking about. Like that. If they're all so good, we'd open the newspaper and just be page after page of just all nice, good things. But, you know, what is it? You know, it's all bad news. So, the point is that this, any good quality you may see is simply the modes of nature. It's just whatever modes are controlling that living entity at the time. They perform pious work, so therefore they're manifesting some nice quality. But give it some time and they won't be. And give it a little more time, they will be. That's samsara. Right? When you're at the bottom, you know, or on the way down, generally the tendency is not many good qualities. You know, when you're going from the bottom to up, you're manifesting good qualities. It's just like the moon, right? When it's waxing, then you're seeing, you know, more and more light. And when it's waning, less and less. That's all. That's the modes of nature. So only the devotees have good qualities because they're connected to Krishna. That's real. Anything else is illusion. That's what Krishna's pointing out. Because he's already pointing out that you trying to be a good person, you're a fool. Because you're only being a good person under the modes of nature. You're not actually taking control of your life and being God conscious. You know, developing in self-realization. You're working in ignorance. Does this make sense? So we see Arjuna, Yudhishthira, they're the nicest people you can meet. But why are they doing it? Not because it pleases Duryodhana and this one and that, because it pleases Krishna. Right? And everybody's part and parcel of Krishna, therefore you please Krishna, they're pleased. Right? Everybody Prabhupada met has something good to say about it. But he's not doing that out of a sense of being a nice guy. He's doing that because he sees them all in connection to Krishna.
Yes, Maharaj. So, what about if a devotee see a person lying on the street, should he help him or not?
It depends. If it will be help, then you can. But if it won't be help, you don't.
If you help, he might not sue or. You know.
Yes, so you don't. We have service to do, right? Our service is the preaching.
But then we might feel guilty, you know.
Guilty for what? For not giving yourself an opportunity to get sued? Wow, I could have got sued. I just didn't see it. You know, like that. There it was right there in front of me. The natural thing to do is help. But if people nowadays will take help as not help due to the mode of ignorance, therefore you don't get involved in their mode of ignorance. You know what I'm saying? We have enough motive ignorance to deal with in explaining the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Because that's the real help. The real help is that they know who they are. The other one, you may help them, and that's natural. But you should also just see that you're going to be able to do some benefit. If you can, do. But if you can't, don't get involved. Does that make sense? Who's this somebody?
I mean, people.
Public people. But then that means you could help them. You understand? Means it is socially acceptable to help them. Does that make sense? You didn't catch the drift of what we were talking about. You were saying before, if the neighbor chastised your child, you would feel he cares for your child and your child is growing up in a protected environment because everybody on the street cares about children. But nowadays, if somebody else is not the parent of the child, chastises the parent will tell him, don't you talk to my child. So if it's acceptable that you could do the proper thing, then you do. But if it's going to be seen that it's not, don't get involved in the material. We already got enough that they don't want us to preach, that we already got enough obstacle there. So deal with that. Be happy with that. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying if it's socially acceptable to help, you help. But if it's not, don't. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not that, no, I am good, I do these things. Even no. Our good is we give Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense?
Going back to your previous point about Srila Prabhupada, how he saw, that was exactly what attracted us, because we could see the compassion.
Yes.
In everything he said, and it was connected to my spiritual upliftment.
Yes, yes. Okay, he's saying that the attraction to Prabhupada is that whatever he said and did was for the benefit of the devotees. So they would feel sheltered and everything like that. Does that make sense? That's the higher principle. So what I'm saying is working on these lower social principles then means we have a Vedic standard, but if people aren't following the Vedic standard, you have to follow the local custom. Does that make sense? It's just the way it works. Like I was saying the other day, is that you have somewhere up in Garhwal or someplace up north in Himachal, up in the mountains there, they have a custom, you know, because the Vedic tradition is the best is the boy, girl's side of the family picks the boy, right? Because if the girl's interested in the boy, you have a much better relationship than if the boy is just interested in the girl. Does that make sense? So, they're in that environment, because it's a small, simple village like that. You know, once they get of age, if a girl decides she likes somebody, likes a boy, she takes something, I don't know what it is, but it's some particular thing. You know, a particular flower or a grass or something she takes. And she goes to the door of the house of the boy, knocks on the door. When the boy comes to the door, she hands it to the boy and immediately runs. Right? So naturally she'll get a head start because he's not expecting anything. Right? And then he's suddenly there, and then it has to go through, you know, this nice girl and this and that, and then suddenly all has to click is that she gave me this because she wants to marry me. Right? But the thing is it'll only... the marriage will only happen if he catches her before she gets to her house. So now he has to make that decision right now. You know, do I want to run after this girl or not? Because if he doesn't, then that's it. And if he does, he better start right now because she's got a head start. So it works in that village. You don't hear of that being practiced anywhere else in India or in the world. But it's a local custom. It works. Everybody's cool with it. It's not against the Vedic principle. But it's unique. You know what I'm saying? So, the principles of compassion, this and that, those are standard. But they may have their local way that it's done. So you have to see that, you know, it matches. But not at the expense of the higher principles of Krishna consciousness. Is that okay? Yes. Duty and obligation. No, they're the same. Right? Duty is means obligation. See, as if you have rights, there's obligations. Right? So your rights are others' duties, are others' obligation. And your obligation is others' rights. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like the parents' obligation is to train the child, but their right is to be respected for that. Does that make sense? They go together. Nowadays, we like to separate them because it makes it really easy. Right? Because if I separate it, then I just it sounds good. You say rights, but the point is rights do have their obligation. Is that what it
says? Yes. If one treats others within through intelligence as part...
A little louder.
If one treats with intelligence other living entities as part and parcel of Krishna, will the sickness in the mind of not seeing them connected, will that eventually go away? Or...
Okay, by trying to deal with them according to that they're part and parcel of Krishna, will the idea that they're not part and parcel of Krishna go away? Of course. It's just practice. See, now we look at everybody as an opportunity for our sense of control and enjoy. Right? That the individual, the situation, because individuals are situations. Right? We look at a situation. And whatever's in that situation, how can we enjoy it? Right? Now, let us say you're out in a very natural, beautiful environment, but there's no people. Okay? What's the opportunity?
Not so much.
No, not so much, but I'm saying, in that situation, what is the opportunity? Right?
The nature, like the Brahman aspect of nature.
Yeah, it means you sit back, you breathe in the air, you think it's very nice, you look around at all the things, right? That's what you do. That's the
standard.
Yeah, that's the standard, right? Now, what if there was a person there? Then you do that, but then you would immediately interact with them, either to show them that you're doing that, or why aren't they doing that, or, you know, having done that, now what can you, you know, interact with them? Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of what you can gain from it, right? You know, or you're there, and it's so nice and the peaceful and the fresh air and that, and then some little animal comes up that's, you know, still very young and cute and cuddly, right? So now what do you do? Right? You know, you bend over and try to interact with them, right? Unless their mother was over there and very big and very big teeth, right? Then you might not. Yeah. You understand? So all these things are just what you do. Right? If it's not set, how is it you can write a play? Because you know what people will do in the situation. Right? So the point is if we're not Krishna conscious, then we will see everybody as a way to enjoy ourselves. And we say, no, but there are people who are good and just that. But that's the point. They see themselves as a good person. So now here's another opportunity in which I can express my goodness. Ultimately, there's no good quality in the material world. You see manifestations of it, but the underlying principle of why the living entity is involved is not. But if it's connected to Krishna, then it really is good. Because Krishna is real. Right? In other words, this is very stark. But the point is if we can't see this, then we can be bewildered by sentiment or by lack of it. We'll be harsh in our dealings because we're Krishna conscious and we don't care, or we'll be so sentimental and also forget Krishna. So both sides are forgetting Krishna. So remembering Krishna is what makes it perfect. It's actually what makes it nice. You see, Krishna's devotees, all the interactions are all wonderful. Haridas Thakur is dealing with karmis. It's wonderful. So it's being a devotee and being Krishna conscious that makes it perfect. Not that you're manifesting some good quality, oh, we have to be so this and so that. Right? But look at the verse. Humble. Tolerant. Respecting others. Not desiring any respect for yourselves. Technically, that covers every kind of social interaction that there is. But does the verse end there? No. What's the next point?
That mood you can chant.
Yeah, then you can chant Hare Krishna constantly. So the point is being able to always be absorbed in Krishna. Right? But we have to recognize that that's how it's going to work. Then in practicing it, it's very nice and pleasant. But we have to be able to distinguish between matter and spirit. And matter means it's not connected to Krishna. Spirit means it is.
Maharaj, yes. As you said before, can the harshness be connected to the jnana aspect and the emotion be connected to the karma aspect?
Yeah, you could. You could take karma to the, you know, the intelligence and all that, and jnana and then karma to the activity itself. But karma simply means the activity through which whatever is your particular platform of understanding or realization is expressed. Right? Like someone on Anamoy, their action is going to express their need for sense gratification. Pranamoy, their action is going to express the need for others to experience sense enjoyment. Right? So that's what we say here, to be a good man or a nonviolent man, that we've set it in that state, it means someone on Pranamoy. Right? If he said a religious man, he's also good and nonviolent. But it's based on here it's just being good, because Arjuna's being good is not actually based on Shastra. He's quoting Shastra to try to back up what he's trying to do. But it's not actually it's not actually Dharma that he's practicing. He's practicing Artha, Niti, which means Pranamoy. Because he sees himself as a good person, and he doesn't see any benefit by fighting with everybody that he cares for, so he'll lose everybody. Right? Pranamoy means sharing, you know, your happiness with others. But your material happiness, your sense gratification. So the point is, do you have a kingdom? What do you have? Right? Facility for sense gratification. Now all the people you'd want to share it with are dead. So what's the meaning? That's pranamoy. Right? Does that make sense? Dharma is, it's their duty as kshatriyas to fight. Now they have something left. They win, they lose, it doesn't matter. That's their dharma. Right? So that's different. So here he's pointing out is that it's just on pranamoy, just being nice and good and moral and caring and all these nice platitudes you hear these days thrown around so cheaply. It's no different than Arjuna. It's not connected to Krishna. It's not has no value. Right? Because even you do it today, will you do it tomorrow? Right? Or you'll do for this party, but will you do for that party? Does that make sense? Yes.
connected to Krishna, it's anandamoy.
If it's connected to Krishna, it becomes anandamoy. Yeah. So it's up on the fifth level of consciousness. But generally what you see in modern society is the first and second level.
May I ask what's between? Between the good, between pranamoy and anandamoy, how would that look like?
How would it look like? Manamoy means it's duty. You're doing it because you're supposed to. Right? Vijnanamoy, you're doing it because by doing it without attachment to action, you'll be liberated. Right? So you see, in Dharma, right, and in moksha, you're following duties according to Shastra. So it's based on the mode of goodness. Anamoy and pranamoy is based on the modes of passion and ignorance. Though you can connect them. The Shastra does connect, you know, what's proper food, proper cooking, proper clothes, proper ways of dealing. So even these first two platforms become connected through Shastra. So the activities, but one wants to avoid one's consciousness being on that level. Does that make sense? The consciousness is not on the level of sense gratification or extended sense gratification. It doesn't mean you're not engaged in the activities. This is where we'll become confused. Oh, Shastra says it's not to be done. Then, therefore, we don't do, it means we're not involved in these kind of activities. No, it's saying that level of consciousness you don't do, but it's not that the activities aren't done. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, these are human activities, but they only become perfect when they're connected to prema. Right? That's all. So therefore, the Shastras define Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. So what's your social system? What is your economics and justice? What is your sense gratification? What's your liberation? They define that in detail, right? And I mean, if people are interested in sense gratification, then they should go to the Vedas, because what they're dealing with these days is not really you could call sense gratification. Right? They don't even know how to enjoy. So here, therefore, is acting for Krishna, so it's under the transcendental. They're under proper guidance, they're practicing Dharma. And they're doing it without attachment, so moksha is there. So everything is uplifting. Right? And the authority will also explain artha and kama. Does that make sense? So all levels are taken care of, but the focus is on performing your duties under authority to please Krishna without desire for the results. Right? So we say that we have the knowledge and we have the detachment, that's the gyan that's given by moksha. We're performing the duties properly, you know, under authority, therefore your karma is working right, your dharma. But it's for Krishna. So therefore it's Krishna conscious, anandamaya. Does that make sense? That's why Bhagavatam in the very beginning says one should focus on these things. Don't use dharma for artha. And don't use artha for kama. You perform your duties of dharma, artha and kama naturally come. But that shouldn't be your motive or your goal. Does that make sense?
So it's about finding the highest principle.
Yes, yeah, find the highest principle, which is Krishna consciousness. But then you work with the mechanics of what you're working with, right? If I say detach, doing the work without detach, without attachment, the mechanics is moksha, right? So it's jnana. That's going to be defined by the Upanishads, right? If I say do your duty, that's manamoya, that's dharma. That's defined by the Dharma Shastras. Does that make sense? You know, so it's wherever the mechanics are. Arta describes, you know, manamoya. The other shastra, Kama Shastras, describe the senses. Does that make sense? Yes.
We're supposed to perform activity without attachment.
Yes.
The activity, although we are detached, we can't get detached from the activity. We're not recommending to give it up because it's meant for the pleasure of the Lord, not for our pleasure. So, that's a certain point of detachment in our lives. We are recommended to actually give up the activity.
Yeah, if it means if giving up the activity is favorable or performing the activity is unfavorable. But if it's not, that's why Krishna in this verse is saying, it's the previous. Self-realized man has no purpose to fulfill in the discharge of his prescribed duties, nor has he any reason not to perform such work. What I'm saying, because this it arose because there's sometimes the idea that vanaprastha means I'm not getting any benefit out of this anymore. Right? You know, I've been doing this a long time, and there's that need for sense gratification, at least with this person, is not there. And so, therefore, I'm detached. So, I don't need to do my duty, and I will renounce, and I'll become a vanaprastha. Right? But the point is here is that there's no reason not to perform the work, just because you don't have attachment to doing it. But if that's your situation, and that's favorable, there's no reason not to do it.
Does it manifest if it's favorable? How do we know that it's favorable?
Favorable. Can you be Krishna conscious? Does that make sense? You know, either the environment is supportive of Krishna conscious activities, and so therefore it's, you know what I'm saying? Right now you're going to the temple, you're doing your duties, you know, the person is, you know, managing the temple and everything like that. He comes home in the evening, interacts with the family, this, that, you know, he takes rest. So he's able to stay at work all day. Now, at doing his service all day. Now, how much time would it take out of his service, you know, managing the temple to wash his clothes? But his wife's washing his clothes. So is it favorable? Yeah, it's going very smoothly. Does that make sense? Like that. But if the time spent is so much that he can't do anything like that, and no one's interested in Krishna consciousness in that, and he's not a young man where he has desires to fulfill. You know, he's performed his duties, his children are grown, all these different things, his wife is situated. Now it's like she doesn't want to do the clothes, she doesn't want to do this and that. So there's no need to be together. Does that make sense? Yeah. But it's not that, okay, the wife doesn't do it, now I'm going over here and now get the brahmacharya to do it. You know what I'm saying? The point is simplify your life. Not that you're going to live now as a grihastha who doesn't have a wife and gets all the facility. That's not vanaprastha. Right? As we hear, vanaprastha is, you know, tree bark standing out under trees in the rain. You know? You know what I'm saying? That's the archetypical vanaprastha. Right? Now it's a matter of whether his wife wants to be standing out there with him or not. If she does, then they do it together. And if she'd rather be at home with the kids and grandkids, then she does that. But we understand. So we have to see, is it favorable? Does it work? There's a cooperation. Right? There's companionship. It's favorable. But if it's not, it doesn't work. But the point is it can't be that there's no purpose to fulfill. So you're not fulfilling a purpose by not being involved. In other words, material purposes are material purposes, no matter which way you put it. Right? The cow dung patty is wet, the cow dung patty is dry, it's still cow dung.
Yes.
Maharaj, the mentioning whether it's favourable or not. So something, you know, the assessment of that favourability, you know, we might assess that in relation to ourselves.
Yes, so that's why we have the Shastra.
But then there's the dependence as well. What's favourable for them?
Favorable for them. No, the dependency means you can be Krishna conscious whether they take part or not. That's non-dependency.
But what about whether they can be Krishna conscious?
The point is, I understand the point, but you're changing the perspective that Krishna is giving in these particular verses, because the verse here is not about they need you to be Krishna conscious, so therefore you can be in that environment and they'll be Krishna conscious. It's talking about the individual not being dependent. It's not discussing about that your performance of your duties is beneficial for them. That's another point, another aspect. Does that make sense? You know, just like we're discussing furniture, there's aesthetics, but there's also price, or there's practicality. You know what I'm saying? So if we're discussing practicality, you don't bring up price until we're, you know, it's very clear what are the options. You know, if we're dealing with aesthetics, because something that's aesthetically beautiful is not necessarily economically cheap. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, there's art stuck. There's art on your refrigerator stuck there by a magnet, right? And then down at Sotheby's, they're selling art, you know, for millions of pounds. You know what I'm saying? But the point is it's a matter of what's the value. You know what I'm saying? For the man sitting there, you know, with his little number and all that, and going like this every now and again. Then, you know, he doesn't care for the art on your refrigerator. But the art on his refrigerator is more valuable than what he's buying. You know what I'm saying? So you have to know when to apply what. So here, the point is we're dealing with that we're not whimsically defining what's favorable and not. Guru Sadhu and Shastra defines. So if somebody's dependent, it is naturally your duties to be involved, though you may not have the material attachment, either due to your material conditioning or due to your Krishna consciousness. Because it's not necessarily that the grihastha, you know, the mature grihastha doesn't have so much attraction to his wife, and that's due to Krishna consciousness. It's not necessarily. He'll interpret it that way, but it's not necessarily. Does that make sense? So we're trying to get to the point of how do you define, you know, what is duty and obligation? What is the Krishna conscious element? Otherwise, like you were saying, is we will make up our own idea. What's favorable to us in our eyes, not necessarily what Shastra says. Mm-hmm. So that's why the Vedic system defines everything very, very clearly, so that then one can analyze all the different aspects and then weigh it and then see, okay, you know, it should be like this, or it should be like that. You know, whatever's the prominence. Does that make sense? What Krishna's bringing out here is that by performing these activities under the direction of Guru Sadhu and Shastra without a desire of result for yourself, and that is being done to please Krishna, that's what's being recommended. Nothing more. But this point is being brought out. So this is third chapter, so it's going to be focusing on the element of performance of duties. Right? The next chapter, it'll focus more on the knowledge behind that. Right, the latter chapters will be within that knowledge. What are all the fine technical points? How the modes of nature work, divine demoniac nature, all these kind of things. Does that make sense? So that with all these different chapters, we have all these different perspectives. Right, this is called vichar. All these different perspectives by which then we can appreciate. Does that make sense? Okay. Yeah. You know, if you want here, but if it, after Gaur Purnima, then we'll be running these classes on Dharma Shastra. That's when then you can really get into the nitty gritties of that aspect. Okay. Riti, verses 3 through 19 explain that detached work is better than dry renunciation because it is natural and purifying. Verses 20 to 26 give another reason why detached work is superior. It sets a good example for the common people to follow. Right? So detached work means activities going on, results are being gained. Through the activity, you can become more detached because you're doing it without attachment. So anything you practice, you get better at. Right? That you're doing it without attachment means everybody else involved in the activity gets more benefit. Right? If I'm doing it for myself, then if others have this same common need, then there's possibility we can share as long as there's enough and I'm willing. Right, but if I'm not doing it for myself, that means whatever's produced is for someone else or others' benefit. Right? So therefore, it is better because not only you benefit, others benefit. Now they can also benefit Krishna consciously, but even if they don't, at least it creates a nicer environment in which Krishna consciousness can be performed. On their platform, on your platform, is Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? You know, you take care of the family, they like you. You're Krishna conscious, they like Krishna consciousness. You don't take care of the family, they don't like you. They don't like Krishna consciousness. Simple. Right? Because they're materialistic, therefore, they see only that aspect. So if you function with detached work, they're happy.
Maharaj, could I also apply that idea to the institution?
Could I apply that to the institution? Yes.
If I do it on a detached...
Yes, because then, because the institution is doing it for the benefit, you know, spiritual benefit of a broader range, so then that's even better, right? We're bringing this out because these things come in the element is, you know, Arjuna's a grihastha, and this is third chapter, we're dealing with karma yoga. So then that aspect, you know, the varnashram aspect we're bringing out more. But the point is that by Krishna conscious endeavor, then that's the most benefit, that's the best good work. That's the best welfare work, it's the most intelligence, the best of engaging the senses, you know, anything. It's the best standard of relationship. Because everything being Krishna, then it's the process of watering the root. The leaves are naturally taken care of. You know what I'm saying? You know, we have some other system of, okay, you take a plastic bag and stick it around the leaves, and then the condensation in there between that, you'll get something that leaves won't dry out so quickly. Right? But the point is they're drying out because the root's not being watered. You water the root, all these other things that do something. Right? There is all these little things. There's tons of books out there. They tell you all these little things. They do something. But all they do is slow down the drying out process. It will dry out. So, Gita is saying, water the root. All these other processes are taken care of. Because Arjuna is, no, I'm watering the root, but you know, what about, you know, the relatives? What about this? What about that? They'll all be taken care of. We have to have that faith. That's, you know, the 241. So when you are convinced, you're focused, then it works nicely. If you're not, then it's many branch. Right? So many branch doesn't necessarily mean a gross materialist or a smarta. Because if we say mixed devotional service, what is the devotional service mixed with? Right? Either that or the smarta or the gross materialist who doesn't follow the Vedic. You have these two choices, right? Is there a third? Right? So therefore, it's mixed means those things are there. It's given in its clear, extreme example. But the point is mixed means there's a certain amount of that. So that means then the mind is going into so many other things. So therefore it thinks elements of sense gratification or of morality or justice or, you know, liberation or being dutiful is more important. So it's mixed. So we have to understand is no, they're valuable as tools, but know how to use the tool. Right? Just if you want to cut the vegetables, you know, for cooking, you don't have to be like a knife, fanatic. You know, that you have, you know, millions of knives, and you got this one and that one, and I just got this one on eBay, and, you know, check this out. No, it's for cutting subject. You know what I'm saying? We're sitting here going, wow, you know, it's the Japanese, you know, with all the different things, and it's got this and that. The Japanese guy just picks it up and cuts his tofu. It's his knife, right? That's what they make, you know. But in America, it's a Japanese knife. You know what I'm saying? The point is it has its point. It's used. It's valuable. We're not saying that Dharma, Artha, Karma, Moksha aren't valuable. We're saying they're only valuable in connection to Krishna. And since it's connected to Krishna, how does Krishna want it to be connected to him? That's the best thing. Right? I can cook for you something, and you'll appreciate the sentiment, even though the thing I cooked for you is something you hate. Right? You hate eggplant, so I made you a fabulous, you know, eggplant parmesan, like that. And so, you know, I'm giving it with such affection and all that. Yeah, it tastes, yeah, nice and this and that, but you don't eat much, you know. You know, and after you go, and I, you know, did he like it? And that, oh yeah, he liked it. I mean, he thought it was a nice gesture, but actually, he hates eggplant. And then it's like, oh. So that's generally what we're doing. Mixed devotional service, all these other things, means we're offering things to Krishna that he doesn't really like themselves, but that you're offering it to him. It's cute. It's nice. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So that's the point. And we may say, no, but it adjusts for the situation, right? You know, the 4-year-old kid goes out in the backyard, right? Picks some weeds, you know, some dandelions, this and that, brings them in with a big grin, gives it to his mother. Is it valued? Yeah. You know, they'll be kept. Now, it's Valentine's Day. The husband walks in with some dandelions from the backyard. What happens? You don't get talked to for the next 3 days. Right? And the phone number for the fast food place is, you know, on the table there. Right? So he has to bring something else. You know, some roses, something like that. Does that make sense? So the point is depending upon your position, then what works also is varied. So therefore someone, you know, someone who's not very advanced, but they take their duties, and because Krishna said, and they're trying to do it for him, that's very pleasing to him. Though that particular activity is not necessarily the best. You know, the gopis aren't doing that. But the principle of surrender and engaging your nature is the same. Right? But one is fully on Krishna, and the other starts with us. Yeah, does that make sense? So Krishna here is giving the full range. So he's pointed out the spiritual platform in the second chapter. Now he's starting with yourself and your duties. That's where we start. But do your duties because you're supposed to, and without attachment. So we're not saying you can't start with yourself. But at the end of the Gita, the 18th chapter, then he's saying, start with Krishna. Then you use the facilities. Right? We start with the facilities and then include Krishna. We should start with Krishna and then, you know, use the facilities. Or work it into the facilities. Because in America you say use the facilities, please. Go to the back. Right? You can also do that for Krishna, right? So that's the one thing. So the dry renunciation means you're doing nothing. But if you're doing something, that's always better, because then the social interaction, Vaishnavas live in a social environment. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so it says dry renunciation. It doesn't say renunciation, because to do the work without attachment, that's renunciation. Dry renunciation means you're doing nothing. Right. Then the other is that you're setting example. Right? So therefore he says, nor is any reason not to perform such work. It sets example. 3:20-6. King, such as Janaka, attained perfection solely by performance of prescribed duties. Therefore, just for the sake of educating the people in general, you should perform your work. In other words, if you're above your work, then perform it for others' benefits. And if you're not above your work, you perform it to get yourself above your work. So in any case, work goes on. Right? So that means the social system works. So this idea is, no, we're renounced, so therefore we shut it down. Or don't. But no, it works. It's just whether you are attached to it or whether you're not.
Maharaj, could I say that because of this idea, if I am unattached, I don't do work. As a group, we lost so much to offer to Krishna in terms of resources.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the point is, if everybody works together, you have more resources. Don't work together, then individuals might have more, but in general, you know, you can do more together. That's why a social system is there. It means you can go out, you know, and dig around, get a stick and dig around for your own witchetty grubs, right? But, you know, you everybody works together, then you can have a more dynamic economic system. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, even in my individual self, and I think I don't need to work and offer that result to Krishna.
Yes.
So in the end, I end up doing very little. And
yeah, means whatever you're doing, you can offer to Krishna, but if there's cooperation, you can do more. You know what I'm saying? It's like how much decoration you can do on Janmashtami, but if 20 people are working, you can do so much more. Does that make sense? So it works like that in everything. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. O son of Prita, there is no work prescribed for me within all the three planetary systems. Right now he said, this is what you should do. Right? Janaka and other such personalities, they've done that. And if you look at it, I don't have anything to do, but I'm doing it. Right? O son of Prita, there's no work prescribed for me within all the three planetary systems, nor am I in want of anything, nor have I a need to obtain anything. And yet I am engaged in prescribed duties. See, nor do I want anything, in want of anything, nor do I need to obtain anything. We catch why those two?
I and mine?
Yeah, I and mine. But what's the positions that those occupy?
Controller
and enjoyer, but then with philosophically?
Karma and Gyan.
Karma and Gyan. Yeah, you could. It would also work. I'm thinking more Sambandha and Prayojana. I'm not in want of anything means the situation of mine in is not lacking, and there's nothing that I want to obtain with that situation. Right? Because otherwise someone would say, oh, well, you can do that because you have all facility. Mm. But we can't be Krishna conscious because we don't even have enough money to get by. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So the point is, there's nothing wanting, there's nothing to gain. Because just because you have nothing wanting doesn't mean you don't want everything. And yet, I'm engaged in prescribed duties, right? Even though I don't have anything or need anything, and yet I'm doing that, right? For if I ever fail to engage and carefully perform prescribed duties, he says, he uses carefully. He doesn't just say, I kind of do my duties, you know, I don't have anything to do, but I kind of do them, you know, just to get by, right? You know, so that others can't complain. No, he says carefully. It means he's doing them very, very nicely. Yes.
But this is also because we have a tendency to think that if we're detached, that means we don't care, or we kind of...
Yeah, if we're detached, we don't care. You know, we take, or if we don't care, we're detached.
Yeah. Oh,
that's the other. That's worse. Right? You know, you think, well, you know, but that's, you know, a lot is just, that's coming from a tell. Okay, if I'm detached, then I shouldn't care. Mm. That's an intellectual process. The other one is, I don't care. And that means I'm detached. Hey, I'm advanced. You know, so, you know, that's the, so that's the mind. Right? For if I ever fail to engage in carefully performing prescribed duties, O Partha, certainly all men would follow my path. Right? Because if he doesn't do it, why should we do it, right? He wrote the rules, he doesn't follow them. If I did not perform prescribed duties, all these worlds would be put to ruination. I would be the cause of creating unwanted population, and I would therefore destroy the peace of all living beings. Because it's duties then keep everybody does what they're supposed to do, right? Children, you know, are proper. Because then they have... means, in other words, unwanted population means those children who don't know what they're supposed to do. Does that make sense? You know, it's the ones that don't know what they're supposed to do that make the trouble. Someone who has nothing to do, he makes the trouble. Right? Does that make sense? It means, generally, those who are... As the ignorant perform their duties with attachment to results, the learned may similarly act, but without attachment, for the sake of leading the people on the right path. It means the common person is doing it because he's attached to the result. You're doing the same activity. You're not attached to the result, but they see, oh, that's what you should do. Because by doing it, doing that activity, how that detached person is doing it, that will actually get them the best result. So they'll get the benefit. Now that detached person, we're talking here, detachment means you're Krishna conscious. So they'll see how to be Krishna conscious in the performance of their duties that they're doing out of attachment. Right? So it's mixed devotional service, but it's devotional service. The one who has no duty to perform, it's pure devotional service. Right? But the activity doesn't change. Is that... So as not to disrupt the minds of ignorant men attached to the fruit or results of prescribed duties, a learned person should not induce them to stop work. Right? So you don't tell them to stop work, you tell them to engage it. Right? Otherwise they'll go back to the work. Right? But it's not because of your arrangement. It's not like, okay, you know, you're still, you know, in student life and all that, you've come to the temple. So, therefore, you know, you should act in a more detached way. You know, either your studies will go better or you come study with us and get trained. Then in the future, if you decide to get married, then you have a solid foundation because any duty has to be performed with detachment anyway. Right? So, Grihastha, if he performs the activity with detachment, then his family will be even more happy. Right? Than if he's attached. So, therefore, that's to be learned now. But now you do that. So now if this person goes through, then having done that for 5 years, now decides I want to get married, now is he going to feel bad towards the person who told him to be detached? No, because it was part of the process. Part of the Vedic process. But if you just tell him all this attachment is nonsense and Maya, and you're just in Maya, give everything up, just do, just surrender. Technically, it's all correct. But it's not put in into its a complete perspective. Therefore, then they'll try that, and if it works, great. But if at some point when they can't, then they're still telling them, no, you got it, it's all Maya. Then when you can't do it anymore, then you go out into Maya. And so now, if you're in Maya, do you work under that person's direction? No. Right? And that they made you feel so bad for being in Maya. Therefore, are you going to have that natural affinity? No. So therefore, you're not going to, you know, associate...
Maya's better.
Yeah, at least she's, you know...
It seems like...
Open-minded.
Accommodating.
Accommodating, yes. Yeah. Right? So the point is that's the difference, is that it says here, should not induce them to stop work. It doesn't mean that you're not preaching about detached work. But you don't induce them to stop the work. Because their need in the work is mixed. If someone's doing because that's what everyone else does and they don't need to really do it, that person, then you get to, why get involved? Does that make sense? You know, the person saying, oh, you know, what are you studying? Oh, I'm doing medicine. You know, what's your plan? I do this, open my practice, I do this and that, I want to do these things with the family, somebody thinks. Then you don't get him to stop work, you make him Krishna conscious. The other person, you say, oh, what are you doing? You have medicine, what's your plan? It's no plan. You say, so why are you doing it? Well, my parents, you know, they're dying, they want to do it. You know, actually, I'm more interested in philosophy and this and that. Then you say, hey, then why are you doing this? Does that make sense? There's a difference. So if one's attached, you don't induce them to stop work. You teach them how to be detached in the performance of their work. So they're still working, they're still situated in that work, they're still getting the results. But they're learning how to function where those activities and results and everything are for Krishna. It doesn't change the environment. Right? But if someone is not attached, right, then why should they be? Right? Unless there's some reason, you know, if the person's already married, yeah, then you do your degree, you become a doctor and do all those kind of things, because then you can set example. You know, you can be the Krishna conscious doctor making all the other doctors Krishna conscious. Does that make sense? Yes.
Maharaj, why whenever somebody's been lifted out of the material ocean, and then whenever they bloop, they go back to the, like, almost like pinpoint accuracy, back to the same situation?
Oh, okay, why would that happen?
Yeah, why is that?
Because it means you have constitutional nature and conditional nature. So conditional nature means your body, mind, and words are what they are due to previous activities. So all the situations that you'll be in are already defined by your previous action. Right. So now, but constitutional means what's the actual nature of the soul and engaging yourself in Krishna consciousness, right? So the point is that here we have the material body. So we can connect that to Krishna. So we're working on the principle that by body, mind, and words are engaged in Krishna service. But those body, mind, and words were produced by the modes of nature according to our conditioning. Right? So that's the prarabdha karma, right? In the spiritual world, they're also engaging their body, mind, and words in Krishna service, but their body happens to be their original form. You understand? But the principle is the same. So we're taking the conditioned nature, but following the principle of the spiritual world. So if you remove the principle of the spiritual world, what do you have left? The conditioning. Therefore, they'll go back to exactly wherever they were.
So Maharaj, in both cases, the principle is the spiritual knowledge.
The principle is, spiritual knowledge, spiritual activities, because in this chapter, especially the spiritual activity. So it means you have knowledge, therefore you're doing the activity with detachment to please Krishna. But right now the emphasis is on work is not given up if there's a benefit to it.
So I mean, in the case of the doctor you mentioned just now.
Okay.
For both cases, the principle is how the activities will be Krishna conscious. The detail will be their conditioned nature.
Yeah, the conditioned nature means, does he need to be married, so therefore he needs a degree in that, or he may find that, yeah, he has a very good in, he has connection, he could deal, so by finishing his degree, he'll be able to preach on campus, make a lot of people devotees, or there's no facility for that and this and that, he could do more by benefiting people, by, you know, stopping that and just, you know, taking part in full-time. You know what I'm saying? So you see what's going to be the most beneficial for that particular living entity. You know, it's not for you and your arrangements like that. It's what will be best for them. That's where Varnashram comes in. It's what is the best for the individual. But the individual, it's best for him, but he has his obligations that are best for everybody else. Right? Does that make sense?
That's the reciprocation.
Yeah, it's the reciprocation. So, therefore, automatically it works. Right? If you're working with detachment, so you're 100% working for others, they're working with detachment, so they're 100% working for you. It works out a whole lot nicer than it's 50-50. I'm working 50-50. So you get your 100%, but you had to do half of it, and it doesn't have the same taste as if someone else completely does it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Is this regardless of what work?
Regardless of what work. It's regardless of what work.
Also very sinful activities.
But you start with that. If it's sinful activities, you start, okay, well, how is it working? Mm. Right? In other words, there's principles of cooking. So the person is cooking, you know, things that are not devotional. So the point is that it's still the principles of cooking still apply. Right? And, you know, the restaurant has its reputation because of its particular standard of cooking. So the principles of cooking, that comes from God. So that means the technique, the principles that are there, that's all from God. So he can be God-conscious while cooking his stuff that's not fit for God-consciousness. That's where it'll start. Then as he goes to that, as that becomes important to him, as the Shraddha goes, then what's the next step? Sadhu Sangha. So therefore, since that's unfavorable, then he'll see, oh, well, I don't want to do this. So now he'll go find a situation where he doesn't have to cook like that. You understand? But you start there. It's not a matter, no, you got to give that up. No, that's not the point. The point is it's not giving, stopping work, because then that would be dry renunciation. You're saying it's for Krishna, but now, okay, he's given that up for Krishna. That moment he gave it up, that was for Krishna. Now what is he doing? What is he doing for Krishna right now? Like that? No, it's nothing. There's a sentiment, but how do you express it? It's expressed through work. So that's why Prabhupada said, you don't have to change anything. You only have to change the consciousness. You change the consciousness, automatically the elements of body, mind, and words will adjust to be favorable, right? If you give proper direction, right? Is that what it says? Because the point is, if I just say, just surrender, it's true. But the point is, have I thought about it? What is that path of surrender? What are the details? Because Krishna says here, in carefully performing prescribed duties, right? You know, so, you know, 5-pound sledgehammer management is not necessarily carefully. Krishna gets into all fine detail. Right? You know, it means Arjuna has just run off with Subhadra. Right? The all the Yadus are, you know, very agitated. And of them, especially Balaram. Right? And you don't want Balaram to be agitated, right? It's not. He is the creation. So you just don't, you know, if we're talking about watering the root, you know, he is the root, the tree, he's the whole thing. So if he's agitated, there's problem. Right? So now, Krishna could just say, hey, you know, I'm the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Balaram's my expansion, and so I want him to run off with him, so hey, you know, live with it. You know, and everyone would have just gone, okay. But would that be nice pastime? Would that be fun? You know, okay, it's great if you have some, you know, how you say, authority, you know, control issues, you know, then it might be, no, but that would be great, you know, like that. No, but Krishna just starts off and goes, you know, the first point he goes, is just goes, well, what do you expect? He's a Kshatriya. He's not going to accept the girl like a cow in charity, right? Kshatriyas don't accept charity. So as a Kshatriya, he does what Kshatriya, he goes out and he steals the girl, right? You know, he's Raksha. Then they'll have to go, yeah, right, okay. But that doesn't mean that they don't feel bad, that he did it without them knowing or this or that. So then you know, the first thing is there. Okay, intellectually they've accepted it. And also crossed over into their duty. But then next thing is, though, no, but, you know, he came here, he tricked us, he this and that. So then, you know, he'll have to deal with that. You know, then they'll say, then he'll bring out, you know, practical. Like that. Okay, so, you know, you feel he tricked you. Okay, you accept that, okay, it's all right that he stole Subhadra because he's a Kshatriya, so you can't get it. Okay, yeah, we've got that. But he tricked us. You know, so we want to do something. Now the point is, what are you going to do? He's on my chariot. My horses run at the speed of mine. So, who else here has a chariot like that? So, what are you going to do about it, right? Nothing. And then it's kind of like, okay, that's practical. And that, but at the same time, as then that just leaves you with nothing. They're kshatriyas. They have to be right. They have to have done something proper. You know, they have to have worked. Then he says, hey, but he's one of us. His mother's Kunti. You know, she's, you know, he's family. And then it's kind of like, okay, cool. You know, so I think you should invite him back, and you know, so we should go and invite him. Let's have the marriage here, and they all go, yeah, great. Yeah. So that's carefully performed prescribed duty. Does that make sense? Krishna didn't just say, just surrender. You know, Balaram, no, but say, you're my expansion. Just surrender. You know. He didn't do that. No, but I'll de-expand you. You know, he's not doing that. Does that make sense? So it's not just the, you know, it's not a one verse administrative system that has only one application. You know, like that. It means there's 700 verses here that you have to work with, right? You know? Okay. Rather, by working in the spirit of devotion, he should engage them in all sorts of activities for the gradual development of Krishna consciousness, right? Because gradual is important. Because otherwise, like on Tuesday, we're discussing, you know, about the gradual process of, you know, going through the ashrams of going, how you say, you know, bachelor, brahmachari, sannyas, grihasta. Right? Yeah, so you were saying, you know, what about this system, you know, like that. So that's why Krishna says it's a gradual development. Right? So that doesn't mean, okay, the brahmachari. No, the brahmachari is important, because if not, you don't get good grihastas. Does that make sense? Prabhupada said, first class brahmachari means first class grihasta. Of course, the first point the ladies bring up is, but the first class brahmachari wouldn't get married. No. The first class means he knows his duties and he performs them well. That's first class. Now, if he needs to get married, he does that at the appropriate time after he's trained. Right? And then the first class who decides he doesn't need to get married, he doesn't. Like that. So that's the basis of the whole thing. So it's gradual development. But that gradual shouldn't be slow. Gradual doesn't mean slow. Gradual just means step by step.
As long as each step takes.
Yeah, as long as each step. It could be a moment, it could be a long time. Like you see the acharyas, you know, they go from shraddha to prem, you know, very quickly. You know, but the point is that, you know, it's like, what is that? You know, Shankaracharya was already taking sannyas at 6, you know, like that. So, you know, the process is a little quicker, like that, you know. But same time, he interacted with his parents and everything, very nice, everybody was very affectionate and all that. But he got to the point of sannyas, you know, at 6, you know.
Very small danda.
Yeah, very small danda, yes. Extremely small danda. So it's the Indian kids, it's small, right? Okay, does that make sense? So however long, it could be take very short, long, but one should not take any longer than necessary, but one should not take any less time than necessary. It has to be balanced, right? So just because we're, in other words, things will be emphasized here where there's a perception of a weakness, right? But the idea is to bring it to a balance. You know, pendulum swings, I mean, except for like Big Ben, aren't very valuable. Yes?
In Maharaj, that process, just to make sure that it doesn't stagger or it doesn't take too long, you always confirm with the Guru.
Yes, yes. Because one is studying, one's associating with devotees, one's practicing. By that, one becomes purified. So one should be sincere to want to progress. Then one will. And so then it will be dynamic. But if one feels, you know, is good enough, there'll always be problems. Is that something? Yes.
Maharaj, this is the situation of Arjuna and Gita, gradual development of Krishna consciousness.
Yes. Yeah, it's gradual development over a half an hour. Yeah. But it's gradual. He's taking him step by step. That's what he's saying, careful performance. As a preacher, he's carefully taking him through the whole thing. First, he points out the spiritual platform. Because without knowing that, how do you discuss karma yoga? Right? In other words, if you haven't explained to somebody transcendence, you can't explain to them how to use their exact situation they're in transcendence. Like, devotees have difficulty sometimes with this, because in doing soft preaching is that they'll think, no, we don't get to the spiritual, we'll just kind of leave them in their position, but they're not being engaged, right? Because their actual idea is that if you are Krishna conscious, you're giving up more stuff. Means an actual in work. But the actual point Krishna's making, you don't have to give up anything in the work. But you have to change is the consciousness. So you first start with the transcendence. Right? Not how the it means how the soul is situated. Then you get down to their practical where they are right now. So here karma yoga means him as a kshatriya. Right? As a grihastha, as a kshatriya. Right? Because if he was a brahmachari, there'd be no discussion of battle. Right? If he was a vanaprastha, there'd be no discussion. But he's a kshatriya who is a grihastha. So therefore, his discussion is based on that. So then you discuss where they are in their situation, whatever it is. And how to connect that to transcendence. But if you don't know what transcendence is, how do you connect it? Then you get into, after that, then into the more knowledge behind it. And then the meditation, and then knowledge is there, that combination. Then combining them, right? You know, you take going from karma, then to jnana, then combining them. Then that naturally comes to the point of meditation, being absorbed in Krishna. Right? And then who's Krishna? So this is the way of going through. This is how you preach to somebody. Yes?
We just discussed the point that if a person goes away from Krishna consciousness, he comes back. He comes back his conditioned nature.
Yes.
But we are used to the idea that during the process of devotional service, karma kind of changes or goes away.
It means it goes away because you're situated on the spiritual platform. But if you resituate yourself on the material platform, what material platform you situate yourself on?
So it doesn't. It means that the conditioned nature doesn't change at all.
No, it doesn't. That's the illusion. We say you got to change your nature, Prabhu. That's impossible. Krishna in the Bhagavatam tells the four Kumaras that their preposition of doing this is for fools.
Okay, but then
Kunti brings this up. It's the same thing. You have to be not know what you're talking about to say to change your nature.
But then
you can't change your nature.
What kind of karma then goes away in the process of devotional service?
That's another thing. First, accept this. You can purify your nature. You can't change it. Right? So if the guy was a businessman before he joined, and he joins, gives up everything, when he goes back to you know, his other engagements, what will he go back to? He'll go back to business. Right? So, he may have been purified in Krishna consciousness. So now instead of, you know, running a leather shoe factory, he might sell something else. But he still do business. So you can purify nature. There's no way you can change it. It's a total, absolute illusion that devotees use. You have to change your nature. That's why it doesn't work. That's why there's so much social difficulty. Because they say you have to change it. It's so gross. You have to change it. No, you have to purify it. Why do you have to change the nature? Because I don't want you doing that. I want you doing this, because I have this 5-year plan and you can fit in here. But if you do that, it's either in my 10-year plan if I'm that intelligent, or my 20-year plan if I'm really intelligent. But there's a good chance I haven't even thought about it, and you have a nature that I've never thought about and wouldn't have a clue what to do with. So you just surrender so that I feel okay that I can control you.
Yeah.
You understand? So the point is no, it's a matter of purifying the conditioned nature. You can't change it. Otherwise, if you could change it, that was Arjuna's first point. I'll just change my nature. I'll just be a Brahmin, go out in the forest. And Krishna said, it's not going to happen. You'll just go out in the forest, you'll fight there. Does that make sense? So that's the point. Yes.
So this nature is... how do we acquire this nature?
How do you acquire this nature? By your previous nature.
Which means it's because of the karma.
Yeah.
Whereas the Arjuna's point of view, he doesn't have any karma. From where he has acquired.
What does that matter? What does that matter to you? An eternal associate of Krishna, Nara of Nara Narayan Rishi, is there as Arjuna. What do you care how he got that particular nose and that particular ear and eye? And is it going to work for you? You understand? The point is he took his birth in that family, so you take it that he has that nature. Just like Krishna, how did he get his nature? It just is his nature, but he appears in a particular pace situation. So it matches. You know what I'm saying? He performs the activities of a Kshatriya, so therefore he appears in a dynasty of Kshatriyas. If, you know, he had appeared in, you know, a dynasty of potters, you know, then how would he manifest that? You know, it's nice, his father's named Hari, but, you know, other than that, it's not going to work. Does that make sense? Yes. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Shama Vekta Bhakti Vrinda ki, Chaitanya Gaura Prema.